All righty, let's turn to Psalm this morning. Psalm 34. Psalm 34. We were kind of waiting, yeah. All right, Psalm 34, 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Let me just turn you a few pages over. Psalm 44. Psalm 44, 8. In God we boast all the day long and praise thy name forever, Selah. You'll find boasting in 44:8, and you will find boasting in 34:2. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. Let's pray. Now, Father, we come to a subject this morning, I suppose, that to many Christians, perhaps the world indeed, it's a kind of a controversial subject. Pray, Father, we might shed light on it this morning, and may our hearts reach out and grasp these things. Lord, we pray that you might help us. We also ask that somebody is here by chance that's never received Christ as their Savior. We've seen two or three people here recently saved either during or after service. We pray, Father, that you would open their eyes, and we are grateful for all who are here. We just pray that you will bless now in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, in all those passages, boasting is mentioned. And boasting is one of those unseemly attributes of men, obviously. Muhammad Ali, if those of you that are of my generation, remember the big braggart. There have been many that have since, of course, followed him. But Muhammad Ali was probably the worst braggart of my generation. You'll recall that the captain of the Titanic made his brag. He said that God himself couldn't sink his ship, which was promptly proved wrong. There was a restaurant one time that said, if the colonel had our recipe, he would be a general. So one of the attributes of man's nature is to want to boast in one manner or another. That characteristic has long been acknowledged as being an undesirable characteristic. More and more today, you now hear it more and more overall. Our world is basically overcome with boasters. Nowadays, the atheists boast that they have no God. The agnostics boast they have no knowledge, which is a little strange. I'm so proud that I don't know. That's just the weirdest thing. Agnostic. But you have homosexuals boasting, environmentalists boasting. You have everybody in the world, it seems, including our politicians, boasting about one thing or another, often things that are entirely wrong. Needless to say, this is an attribute of the latter days. The Bible says in the latter days, a perilous time shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud. Right? Boasting and pride go right together. The Lord looks very narrowly upon these things, as you can imagine. I'm sure you well know. Let me read you just a short sampling. Psalm 10, for the wicked boasteth of his heart's desire and blesseth the covetous, whom the Lord abhorreth. Psalm 52, why boasteth thou thyself in mischief, O mighty man? The goodness of God endureth continually. Psalm 94, how long shall they utter and speak hard things, and all the workers of iniquity boast themselves? Confounded be all they that serve graven images, that boast themselves of idols. Worship him, all ye gods. Proverbs 27 says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. James says, but now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. I actually found an African proverb that says, boasting is not courage. Another man said that a man should never boast of his courage or of a woman her virtue, lest their so doing should be a cause of calling their possession of them in question. This is my personal favorite. Egotism is the hypodermic that God allows a man to use on himself to deaden the pain of being a fool. I like that one. Now, people are funny these days. Again, we live in a boastful, bragging, crowing, preening generation. And it seems like increasingly even Christians do this. Folks, again, brag and boast and preen and crow over their accomplishments, their money, their talents, their intellect, their education, their careers, and the list just goes on and on. And yet, if I stand and say as a Christian that I know 100% for sure that I'm going to heaven when I die, or that I know that the Bible is 100% true all the time, and that I know that Jesus Christ is coming back to get me one day, suddenly all of the proud peacocks turn on me and say that I'm proud and ought to have a more humble attitude about things. Now, I want to talk to you for a little while about this, because the fact of the matter is, folks, God said this. He said, "For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works. Why? Lest any man should boast." And what you really find out when you study the Bible is the fact that what this boasting thing is about is when I boast of one thing or another, I am giving glory to whatever I'm boasting about. If I'm boasting about my good looks, my talent, and so on, which you're all very aware of, then I'm giving glory to me. Now, by the same token, this sheds light, for instance, on Psalm 34, verse 2, "My soul shall make her boast in the Lord." Boasting is not always wrong. Boasting about me is always wrong, but boasting about my God gives Him the glory that He deserves, and that's what boasting really is. Boasting is really just giving glory to someone that you believe deserves it. I am certain that God deserves my boasting. In that light, I'd like to mention these things to you. My subject this morning is my soul's boast. And I'll be bragging, but by the grace of God, I'll not be bragging about me. I'm going to be bragging about Christ. Now look, folks, when it boils down to it, I know many of you, we talked this morning about offense in Sunday school. I know that there's a breach between many of you and your lost families, your lost acquaintances, some folks at work perhaps that you've witnessed to, that sort of thing. Really, in simplicity, what the breach is really about is the things that you boast in. Those folks many times will boast in their religion, their own special personal righteousness. You boast in a Savior that gave you everything. And really, when it boils down to it, that's what the breach is all about, is what you boast in. I want to talk to you about my soul's boast, okay? And there are some things here I'm sure will be predictable for some of you. Let me talk to you first of all about salvation. Talk about my salvation, first of all. Boy, sinners can abide on the proud heights of their condescending position, can't they? You have never seen prouder, more contentious people in this world than homosexuals. We now live in a country that's almost overrun by a homosexual movement. Those people believe they are superior to you in every way. Boy, are they proud. Boy, do they boast. Hate to tell you this, but many religious people are very boastful. Islamists are boastful. They serve a God that doesn't even exist except as being a demon and an idol, and yet they boast of their God as being all-merciful and far better than your God. Okay, this just goes on and on. There are scientists that believe and boast, frankly, that they came from a mud puddle, cosmically speaking, that they were born in time and evolution out of a rock, out of inanimate matter, correct? This is a very boastful thing. Now, but then you turn it around and just let me say that I know that I'm saved, that I have eternal life as a reality and as a present possession, and boy, do they ball up on me. Boy, do they get upset about that. Now look, ladies and gentlemen, let me just say, and I want to make this very plain, I am saved. I am as saved as you can absolutely be. I am absolutely, eternally, completely saved. Now, so far, I want you to know something. I am not bragging. I am not boasting. I'm giving you the facts. Jesus Christ gave me salvation. I am as saved as a man can be. Now, with that said, now I'm going to brag. See, it's a fact that I'm saved. The boasting comes when I boast of my God who gave me my salvation. My Savior came and died for my sins, was buried, rose again the third day after defeating sin, death, hell, and the devil. Jesus Christ, excuse me, came into this world to save sinners of whom I am chief, and He did save me. My boast is in the Lord. I have nothing to boast about my salvation. I'm glad that I have it. In my mind, in my faith, it's a fact that I have it. I can never be more saved than I am right now until my body is redeemed as well as my soul and spirit. My soul and spirit, by the way, is redeemed right now. I'll never be more saved in that than I am right now. But I'll grant you my body is still the same body that got saved all those years ago. Okay? So I'm waiting for the redemption of my body. That much is true. I'll be glad when that comes, but I cannot be more saved than I am right now. It is an absolute fact that I am saved. However, my boast is in my Savior. My boast is in a Savior that paid it all, that suffered for my sin, that became sin for me, and He knew no sin, that He might be made the righteousness of God, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. He has made Him to be for me sin, first of all sin, then righteousness, then sanctification, then redemption. I mean, folks, I have a Savior that is great. It is a fact that I am now a son of God. It is a fact that I am now born again. That is not my boast. That is what the Bible says that I am. The Bible states that I have the absolute righteousness of Jesus Christ. The Bible states that I have complete redemption in Jesus Christ, that all of my sins are completely atoned for. I have been circumcised with a circumcision made without hands in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh. I have been baptized into the body of Jesus Christ where I will be forever and ever. I mean, there comes a day that I believe not, yet He abideth faithful. He cannot deny Himself. My boast is not in me. My boast is not even in my salvation. It's just something that I have. It's something that I possess. My boast is in the God that gave it. My boast is in the Savior that gave me what I have. And that's what my boast is in. My soul's boast is in God. My soul's boast is in Jesus Christ. I have nothing to brag about beside that. I have something to brag about in Jesus Christ. I have nothing to brag about in me. So there's, first of all, my salvation. Secondly, let me talk to you about my certainty. Okay? Now, this touches on what's already been said, but if my being saved is a fact and a thorn in the minds and hearts of many, just wait until I tell them that I know 100% for certain that I'm saved. Here's somebody at a doorstep. You knock and you say, "Sir, we're from Blessed Hope Baptist Church. We're just here today, you know, asking you if you know for 100% for sure if you're going to heaven when you die." "Well, yeah, I think so." "Well, did you know the Bible says you can know 100% for certain?" "No, it doesn't. Nobody can know for sure." Don't you find it really strange? These people know what happened 200 billion years ago, they say. Don't you find it strange they know what happened to the dinosaurs, but they think it's a complete abomination that I might know for certain that I'm saved? Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'll tell you this. It's a fact that I'm saved. It's a fact, by the way, that I'm certain that I'm saved. But I want you to know at the same time, I have nothing to boast about in any of that. The reason that I know for certain that I'm saved is because Jesus Christ told me I could know. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Right? I mean, this is the record that God hath given us eternal life. This life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. It is a fact that I am certain that I am saved. It's not about my religion. It's not about what religious hoops I've jumped through. It is about the fact that I have received Jesus Christ as my Savior. I don't get to boast about my certainty. I am not proud of my certainty. I am glad to be certain. My boast is in the God that made me certain. My boast is in the God that made me promises and gave me a Savior and a Spirit that dwells inside me that helps me be certain. It's about a God that gives me faith. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And by that faith, I am certain. But my brag, my boast, is in the God that gave it. Amen? I'd like you to, while we're talking about this, let me mention something else. Let me mention not only my certainty and not only my salvation, let me mention my security. Okay? There are very few things that will raise the ire of some people more than saying, not only am I sure I'm saved, but I know that now that I am saved, no matter what happens, I will always be saved. Boy, they don't like that at all. Boy, they say, you just think you can live any way you want to. Ruh, 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 ruh. What about Ted Bundy and what about that woman in Texas that killed her own babies and all this kind of stuff? What about? And I understand where they're coming from and all that kind of stuff, folks. But folks can really get worked up. The fact of the matter is, I don't believe that Jesus Christ called me into this relation to do whatever I want to do. Right? Listen, Jesus Christ told me that if I did, after I got saved, anything that I wanted to do, that He was going to deal with me in ways that I don't want to be dealt with. Correct? That said, let me say this. God had already discounted all of my works before I trusted Christ as my Savior. He had already discounted my works as filthy rags already. That was the best of the works. That's not even taking into account the worst of the works. So He called me into this relation with Jesus Christ aside from my works. And I got news for you. I am staying in this relation with Jesus Christ aside from my works. Correct? I'm telling you, folks, the Bible teaches something called eternal security. It is called once saved, always saved. It is one of the greatest blessings in life. I am well aware there are people that abuse it, misuse it, and exploit it, and I'm very sorry about that. But that is not why God called you into a relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm glad that I have eternal security. I am not bragging about that eternal security. I'm bragging about a Savior that gives me eternal security. I'm bragging about a Savior that put me into the love of God from which I cannot be removed. I'm bragging about a God who sealed me by the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. The day that I am redeemed from this mortal body, I will still be saved no matter what happens. I can brag about a Savior that gave me an entirely new birth in Jesus Christ. He quickened me by the Holy Spirit, sealed me by the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption, put me in the body of Christ, put the Holy Spirit in me and sealed Him there. I am boasting of that Savior. That makes my Savior better than any other Savior. That makes my God better than any other God. I'm not bragging about my God because He's my God. I'm bragging about my God and my Savior because He is who He is. And I thank God He gave me what He gave me. I want you to know, folks, Jesus Christ, no matter what happens to me, no matter how I fail, in the day of redemption, He will still be my Savior. I will still be His Son. His Father will still be my Father. And whether you like it or not, all of you are going to be my brothers and sisters. in Christ. My boast is in God. My boast in my security is in the God that gave it. Is that a tribute to me? That's not a tribute to me at all. It is a tribute to a God that was gracious enough and glorious enough to know that after He saved me, at some level or another, and sometimes pitifully so, that I would fail and that I have failed, and that my relationship with God, in spite of all that, is still the same. That is a blessing. That is a blessing. I'm bragging about the one that cut me the deal. Now, there's something else I'd like to mention here. We couldn't get out of this without this. I am boasting of the God of my salvation. I'm boasting of the God of my certainty. I'm boasting about the Savior that gave me eternal security. I'm also boasting about the God that gave me my Scriptures. Okay? Most all of you here know the strife and contention about the matter in the modern church today and how long that battle's been going on. It's really been going on since Genesis chapter 3, is it not? Maybe what I'm going to say here is unnecessary for most of you, superfluous, and like cream on the top of things for you. Maybe I'm not informing anybody here of anything new, but I want you to know that God, when He gave His Word, promised pure, true, right, inspired words from God. Every single one of them. Every word of God is pure, he says. Now, what that means for me, and we can go through, you can read through tens of thousands of pages of material, so I'm synopsizing big time right now, telling you right now what that means for me. That means for me, as an English-speaking American, that my King James Bible is the perfect Bible. I believe with all my heart that every word in the King James Bible is the right word, is the pure word of God, that God inspired it, preserved it, and frankly, this is heresy, translated it, so that I could have pure words to set my eyes upon. I don't know about you, but I have a perfect Bible. And when I say I have a perfect Bible, I am not bragging about me and I'm not bragging about my Bible. I am boasting of the God that gave it. Here I have a God that all those many, many years ago promised to give words, not only to His next generation, but the one after that, and now to this generation. And then through those dark, long years, 5,000 years now, the devil started attacking the Word of God in Genesis chapter 3, yea, hath God said. He has never let a day go by since that time that He has not attacked the Word of God. By the time Jesus Christ came, the church was birthed into a world led by Gnostic midwives, philosophers. And those philosophers tried to combine Christianity with their philosophy. And they succeeded in some people's eyes. Those philosophers rose up and went to the Bible, went to the Holy Scriptures that God had inspired, and they started changing stuff so that it would match what they believed. God, through all that, overruled those men. He did overrule Origen. He did overrule Augustine. He overruled all those guys to give me a Bible. Through at least 1,000 years of church history, the devil did nothing but try to tear up the Word of God and did nothing for 1,000 years but succeed in subverting the Word of God so the average guy in North Africa or in Europe could not read the Bible. It was against the law for him to read the Bible. His own church would kill him for reading the Bible. And yet for all that, the Lord still brought the Bible through. The Lord still used a man named Wycliffe, a man named Tyndale, a man named Coverdale, and eventually men named Boyce and Reynolds and King James and Bedford and a few others, 47 others to be specific. And when it was all said and done, He gave me the very words of the living God in the very form that He wanted those words being read in my mind and heart. I want you to know that is not a tribute, that is not pride. in my own Bible. I boast not myself of my own Bible. I boast of a God that gave it. I boast of a God that inspired it and kept it and overruled men day after day for these 5,000 years to deliver to me a perfect Bible. And I believe with all my heart that the Bible that I read, not just, I don't mean just the Bible. I'm not just about the esoteric Bible. I'm talking about the pages that I can flip and read and bleed on and sneeze on if necessary, hold the very words that are true and right and pure in English, and I hold them in my lap. I believe that. And God deserves the boast in that. I do boast in the Word of God. It's not because I have a Bible that I just all by myself individually think it's right and so on, but I give credit and I boast and brag in the God that gave it, in the God that inspired it, in the God that preserved it, and I believe earnestly in the God that translated it and gave it to me. I believe that. There's something else I'd like to mention to you that's a little bit dicey in some people's minds. I'd like to talk to you about my judgments and my opinions. You know, opinions are not worth much. Man's judgments are not worth much, and mine are no better. I am just as likely to be wrong, perhaps more likely to be wrong in my judgment or in my opinion as anybody else. That much is true. I certainly do not believe that my opinions are necessarily all right in and of themselves. Here's what I will say. As being as fallible, and probably more fallible than many, be assured that I know this. Be also assured that I get my opinions basically from where everybody else gets their opinions. I form my opinions by things that I put in my head. It can be by earphones. It can be by watching TV. It can be by reading a book. It can be by listening to something. Correct? I form my opinions just like you do, and this is exactly how you form your opinions. You put stuff in your head. My father-in-law, in the last years of his life, put very little else in his head but CNN. Now, if you put nothing but CNN in your head, you know what's going to come out of your thoughts? CNN. If all you read is evolutionary material, or for that matter, and this will offend some of you probably, if all you put in your head is pro-homosexual material, do you know what your opinions in time will likely be? Pro-homosexual. So I want you to know that I am not proud of my opinions or judgments. I want you to know that I am very aware that I form my opinions and judgments the same way you do, by putting stuff in my head. Now the question is, what do I put in my head? And I will tell you, there's a good deal of what I put in my head that are the precepts and the words and the judgments and the commandments and the laws of the principles of God from the Word of God. Okay? In that regard, if you do the same as I, the chances are pretty good that the more of the Bible you put in your head, the more your opinions and judgments will be conformed to what God said. Now, folks, this is not terrifically hard or anything. I'm just telling you, I am very aware of the fallibility of men's judgments and opinions. Somebody said once, you know, a guy has, you know, opinions are just like armpits. A guy has two and they both stink. And that's true. Unless you put something pure and right and godly in your head, unless you draw your opinions and judgments from those things that are pure and right and godly, and unless you conform those opinions so that you judge all your opinions by what you put in your head, the Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, all I'm saying is my boast is not in my judgment. I may be a revelation to some of you that every time somebody says to me, Brother Stevens, I'd like to have a meeting with you. I'd like to sit down and talk to you a little bit. I go, oh boy. It might be surprising to some of you that I am not terribly secure in how wise I am as a counselor. I know full well that I can be wrong. I know full well some of my weaknesses and that I can draw wrong conclusions, that I can jump too quick or too slow or make the wrong decision. So believe it or not, when somebody calls me up and says, Brother Stevens, I really need to talk to you. Can I meet with you, you know, Thursday at 4 o'clock, whatever, at church? I want to talk to you in your office. I go, my stomach kind of turns over. I get this butterfly thing going because, to be honest with you, I don't have a lot of faith in my own personal judgment. I am so glad that I have a Bible. And I am so glad I have the Holy Spirit that dwells in me that sometimes manages to give me wisdom way beyond anything my own, and that He will take things that I think about from the Word of God and help me make wise judgments and form a wise opinion. Ladies and gentlemen, I am very aware of my fallibility. I am not bragging about my counseling abilities. I am not bragging about my wisdom. I'm not bragging about my capacity to understand or to know or anything else. But I will say that I do put on a very regular basis, I do immerse my mind in the very words of the living God. I got news for you. When it comes to your opinions and judgments, that's what you need. And my bragging is not, my boasting is not in my opinions, my judgments. My boasting is in the God that supplies light to shed light on things that I need to know and understand, and by the grace of God, that allows me to be able to give counsel to somebody that's worth hearing. Because I assure you, folks, listen, I don't know, one of my greatest fears in life, I guess I'm here confessing today, one of my greatest fears in life is to actually mount the pulpit sometime and stand here with nothing to say. I'll tell you, it scares me to death. It scares me. There are times at 4 o'clock on a Sunday afternoon, I'm going, what am I going to preach tonight? And by about 4 o'clock, it starts getting really serious. There's a element of panic that begins to set in because, you know, it's like, I do not want to get in front of these people, like so many preachers, with nothing to say. Now, I don't know, you'll have to tell me later how often you think that I have stand up here with something to say. And maybe I don't even want to know that. But whatever. I will tell you this. My boast is not in my knowledge. My boast is not in my judgment. My boast is not in my opinions. My boast is in the God that sheds light in my darkness. And that I brag about. I'm bragging on my God. I'm bragging on the God that gives me light. Okay, there's something else I'd like to mention in closing. And I'd also like to mention, and this is not only mine, but this is yours as well, my usefulness, my service, my purpose in life. You're called to do some interesting things. As a Bible-believing Christian, you're called to go out into that neighborhood right over there and knock on somebody's door or go onto a playground and talk to somebody or go to a hospital and sit down by somebody's bed or go to a nursing home and sit down by somebody's bed or go to a family reunion and get Aunt Maybelle really stirred up. You know what you're called to do? You're called to step into those positions and act as an ambassador for Jesus Christ. Did you know that the Lord called, made us to be both kings and priests unto God? Did you know that if you're saved, you are more of a priest than the Pope? Because I don't believe the Pope's saved. If he ain't saved, he ain't even a priest. Right? We believe in the priesthood of believers in 1 Peter chapter 2. I want you to know you are a witness. You are an ambassador. You're a preacher. You're a testament. You're a testimony. You're a priest and you're a king. It is your call. It is your purpose in life to represent God to those people out there. Right? Now, I don't know about you. I can testify from the Bible that I am a son of God. I'm a witness. I'm a priest and a king. I'm a shepherd. Personally, I'm a pastor. I know all of you aren't, but I am a shepherd, a bishop, an overseer. I'm a preacher. I'm a contender for the faith. I'm a prayer. I'm a soldier. I'm a counselor. Again, an ambassador for Jesus Christ. I'm a brother in Christ. I'm a husband. I'm a father. I'm a friend. At times, I'm an adversary, I guess to some. And that is my purpose in life. And I want you to know that is your purpose in life. Now, if you go through that list and start talking about being an ambassador and all those sort of things, I suppose that sounds sort of uppity. And when I say that I am authorized to speak about certain things for God, I'm sure that there are some that look on that very, very narrowly. Yet I want you to know it's not just me. It's just about everyone that's sitting in this room this morning. Right? Now listen, I make no brag about the position that God has anointed me for in the body of Jesus Christ. The boasting is for Him. If I'm an ambassador, if I'm a witness, if I manage to pray with any sort of power whatsoever, if I manage to preach anything worth hearing, it's all God. I developed as my own personal theme some years back that when things go right, as far as the will of God is concerned in my life, when things go right, that's God. When things go wrong, that's probably me. Right? It's true. It's true. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I've stood here this morning and told you that I was boasting, that I was bragging. I hope you understand by now, I'm not boasting or bragging of anything that I've done or anything that I am or anything I hope to be. My boast, my soul's boast is in the Lord. It says there in Psalm 34, verse 2, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. And that's what I hope to do. I got news for you. You've got nothing to brag about except your God. Anything that appears to be boast-worthy besides something your God did is not true. If you've accomplished something in your own eyes in some manner that is boast-worthy, you can rest assured that it's not. But if your God did it, it is. I don't even presume to have hit everything here this morning, but let your soul's boast be in the Lord. Let's bow our heads and pray. Now, Father, we are grateful for your goodness to us. We've tried to magnify that here this morning, Lord. We know that our world, sometimes even our friends, Father, we fill their ranks with braggarts, folks that are proud of certain things, boastful about certain things, and just as proud as peacocks. Father, there aren't many things that are boast-worthy. We know how you look at those things. We do know that our God is. We know that all the works of our God are boast-worthy. Let our souls boast in our God and our Savior. We're thankful for a book. We're thankful for thy mighty works, for your salvation, for certainty, for security. Thank you for the Scriptures, Lord. And Father, thank you for giving us something to do with our lives besides just sit and soak up the blessings of God. We are called to do so much. And Father, in all those things, it is Thee, it is Thou that art boast-worthy and not ourselves. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Let's stand with number 251 in hand. 251. Now, it could be that somebody here that's never trusted Christ. If you haven't, you've at least heard a sermon this morning. I hope that thoroughly carries the message that nothing that I do is much of any good. That anything that's good that comes to me or from me or through me is actually from the hand of God itself. And I hope you can live your life in that respect as well. If you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, be assured of this. Jesus Christ did it right. He died for your sins according to the Scriptures, and I want you to know He did it right. And in so doing it right, what does that mean about you if you turn and walk away from that gift? Number 251. Jenny continues to play. Now the appeal here is not only for Christians, or not only for lost folks, but for Christians as well. Again, one of the things that we investigated this morning is how in the latter days, with perilous times, that part of that peril will be the spirit of boasting, not only in ourselves, but things we hear day in and day out. Boasting about how great man is, how you need this and need that. And the truth of the matter is you're helpless, and what you need is God. What you need is God's blessing and God's power. Your smarts, your own intellect, your own wisdom, your own self-esteem is of really very little import in the broad scale of things. What you need is a God that's all-powerful, all-present, that always does right and knows what's right and best for you. Perhaps not in a spirit of open boasting, but perhaps in a spirit of just secret pride, you've decided to commandeer the wheelhouse for yourself in some manner. And really, maybe the Lord's no longer in control because you've determined that you know best. I hope you'll be assured that you don't. Folks, our boast is in God. All-wise, all-powerful, invisible, the Creator, and His Son, Jesus Christ, that died to save us. Make sure it's His hands on the wheel. Make sure you vacate the wheelhouse and let Him have it. Now, Father, we're grateful this morning for these folks that have come. Most of them patiently been here for 2 hours now. We appreciate the Word of God. We appreciate the presence of the Spirit. We're glad for conviction, Father. We're glad for Your grace and mercy that comes to us day in and day out. We pray, Father, You'd help us to be able to reflect on these things in truth. Give us a spirit that's willing to look inside and see the truth about ourselves as the light is shed in our hearts through Christ. Father, I just pray You'd bless now as we're dismissed. We'll be back tonight, and we pray You'll give us safety in getting back. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we'll see you back here at 5:30, Lord willing, if you're willing to come for prayer meeting. Otherwise, service starts at 6. Thanks for being here.